All right, welcome back, everyone. Again, this is our May 2026 Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting. We are coming to you from Custer. I did not say that earlier. Good to be here. And thank you to everybody that's with us here at the Event Barn. Whether you're in person or online, we appreciate your involvement in what we do. With that, we're going to move to item number 10. Jake will remain with us for the AIS operation plan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. Just a brief update on the 2026 Aquatic Invasive Species Operational Plan from Game Fish and Parks. We're right on the cusp of entering into our 2026 field season for aquatic invasive species and want to provide an update. Nick's going to be up here to help me with the communications portion of that. So what we're going to cover here this afternoon, I always want to cover the challenges of aquatic invasive species. Many of you have heard this before, but we do have some new commissioners, so I want to make sure that we cover that. Cover the communication plan and also the operational plan. These are annual plans we put together to help guide our activities. And then AIS outreach and education. Now, if you look here at the image, that red arrow there was pointing to a juvenile zebra mussel. Now, excuse me, it's probably not juvenile. It is formed a shell. However, that's what we're looking for during our watercraft inspections, and basically it's the size of a grain of sand. So there are challenges when we're having staff in the field looking for these organisms. So I always want to point that out. This is actually a picture that was taken by one of our inspectors in a previous year. So we have two constants that we look at for aquatic invasive species. First one being that species will continue to be introduced in North America, and the ones that are currently established will continue to spread. That's not our information. That's just what they do with decades worth of information and data from across North America. The example that we use is zebra mussels. This is USGS data here. That vertical red line is 1986. There's some of their early detections on the Great Lakes. If we fast forward here, 2022, and you can see that that line has pushed to the west, and those incidents of locations and detections has basically, increased exponentially. And that has continued from 2022 to 2026. But this is just a quick graphic to show what we're working with. It's easy to look at AIS and just focus on South Dakota, but we always want to broaden that perspective because it is something that affects a bigger area than simply South Dakota. We also have challenges when we look at the aquatic resources we have here in South Dakota. Very fortunate to have the volume of aquatic resources that we do. However, it does work against us when we start talking about a field program or implementing a quote-unquote prevention program. We have over 10,000 water bodies that are 10 acres or larger. We have, this number has actually increased, it's over 500 boat ramps across the state. So we have a lot of water resources and a lot of ways to get people on those resources. Now, however, when you try to put a field program together, that does create some challenges. We also have 11 primary entry points between interstates and highways in the state. Just a lot of access for users to get to the water and move around within the state. So I always want to make sure that we cover that when we talk about our field program and what is realistic and what is not realistic in our opinion. So I'm going to turn this over to Nick, because when we talk about our primary approach and the tools in the toolbox, outreach and education, in our opinion, is the primary tool. Our goal is to provide every surface water user of South Dakota's aquatic resources with the tools that they can implement every time they use a surface water of the state. Provide them the tools when they use a surface water, because we can't be everywhere all the time.
Thank you, Jake. Nick Harrington, Communications Manager with Game Fish and Parks. And yeah, so a little bit more about this Aquatic Invasive Species Communications Plan. As you can see on the screen here, we have one of our emails that does a pretty good job capturing the video that we have worked with, as well as a good email topic that we do. So we kind of use three main prongs for reaching folks when it comes to AIS. Email is still our number one go-to. If you purchase a fishing license, if you're going camping, we have your email, and that is a really good way for us to reach out directly to those anglers. But then the other challenge of this is those recreational boaters, we might not have that information. They might not have a license with us. And that's where this video component comes in, and what we've done is gas station TV. So in the past, we've had about 43 gas stations. This year, we will expand that to over 90. And part of that messaging As you can see here, we have Benny Spies with one of our videos. Last year, Chris Hull and I were sent back to boating school, and we had a much more proficient young angler coming up teach us about clean, drain, dry. This year, we partnered with Jason Mitchell of Jason Mitchell Outdoors. So if you follow fishing, hunting content on TV, you're probably familiar with Jason. He's out of North Dakota, but does a lot in the Dakotas, Minnesota, so very recognizable face. And we really took advantage of that time with him. We filmed a new gas station TV, but then another component and that we've had great success with is social media reels. So for about the past month, we've been doing what's called Fish Fridays, and that's fry with a Y. That's not our spelling. That's that we like to eat fish. So we've been utilizing those with Jason. We shot a lot of different content. So as we go into 2026 here, expect to continue to see those emails, those social media reels, which we've done really well with. We've seen between 5 to 15,000 average viewership per reel. So pretty happy with those numbers. But again, those 90 gas stations for that 15-second clip, reminding folks to clean, drain, dry, whether they purchase a license, they're recreational boating, we're going to reach them literally in the field as they're going to and from the water. And I think that's what makes our campaign really effective. This is really all going to kick off right before Open House Weekend. We've made that our basically official AIS Awareness Week here in South Dakota. So we're about 2 weeks out. You're going to start seeing all this. And then we hope people have a great year out fishing, boating, and enjoying our water resources.
So these next couple of slides I'll go through very quickly. Nick mentioned we have the digital communication portion of it with social media, the emails, Go Outdoors. There's an acknowledgement, so anytime somebody purchases a fishing license, they have to read a quick paragraph on aquatic invasive species and click that they've read that. They have to make that acknowledgement. Same with a camping reservation. We also have our in-person communication, so we've got physical signage at water bodies that whether or not it has AIS depends on the kind of signage that's there. Some of it might simply be plug in, plug out to remind boaters of regulations. Others might say that this water body has this AIS. We also have our watercraft inspection stations. We look at this as a form of in-person communication. Watercraft inspection stations have shown to not be 100% effective, so we look at them more as a outreach tool than we do a prevention tool. We conduct anywhere between 18,000 to 21,000 inspections a year. We're planning on doing that again. Then we also build AIS information into any of our presentations. Print materials, we just have a number that we hand out periodically with every inspection. For example, somebody gets a rack card, again, newsletters, articles, that sort of thing. Now covering our 2026 operation plan, this is going to outline field activities for the department as well as our partners as well. So detect and monitor AIS, we have two prongs of that. We have our citizen monitoring where we partner with users such as somebody from a lake association. They can help us monitor for AIS on the water body that they may have an interest in. We provide an opportunity for them to understand what they can do to look for AIS and then also more importantly report findings. And then additionally, we have staff going out in the field throughout the entire boating season. They conduct surveys as well. For example, we conduct fish population surveys on over 100 water bodies in the state. We compare an AIS survey with that to help with our monitoring efforts. Now, as far as our in-person engagement, we are again planning on having watercraft inspections across the state, a very similar approach on any given day throughout the primary boating season, which is May through August. There should be around 12 to 13 watercraft inspection stations operating. We'll have a number in eastern South Dakota. These will be a combination of roadside, such as an interstate or a primary highway, and then roving access-based. Additionally, in central South Dakota, we'll have a roving access-based inspection on the Missouri River. And then in western South Dakota, we'll have a similar approach where five primary large reservoirs in western South Dakota will have access-based. Again, a very similar approach to what we've done in the past. Additionally, we do have law enforcement presence there when it works for our staff. That certainly helps during those inspections. During these inspections, we also have the opportunity to interact with the user and then really get a gauge on compliance. I do want to say that the last several years, our boat plug compliance, which we get this number through our thousands of inspections that we do, has been at 98%. So we are seeing good compliance with our users. It's a very high number in our opinion, and when we compare it to other states, it's a very high number compared to their values as well. We also engage interested parties. We've reached out to, again, over 30 lake associations that we have contact information for to partner with disseminating AIS information, partnering on monitoring. And then, again, just our constant AIS communication that our staff pushes out to our users. We also support research internally. We have currently 10 projects that we partner with different universities on, as well as regional partners. And then we also look at what's happening as far as research goes in other parts of the country. All of this gets worked into our program to help guide our activities. And then last, we do have aquatic invasive species education that we push through our outdoor campuses, and we have also worked to partner to create a middle school curriculum. Again, just opportunities to get best management practices out to our users any way that we can. And with that, I'll take any questions. Do you want to say again three simple words: clean, drain, dry? Those are not simply ours. That's a national push. Again, happy to answer any questions on aquatic invasive species for 2026.
Very good. Thank you. Questions from the commission. Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. I guess this is directed to Nick. Have you looked at, and I'm looking at like sporting supply stores and whatnot, do you push out stuff to them, Cabela's, all of them, you know, as people come in to buy their fishing supplies and things like that?
Yes, through the chair. Excellent question, Commissioner Bartling. We are in those bait shops. We have, Jake talked about the physical signs that are at the boat ramps, but also as you walk into these bait shops across the state, whether it's as big as Cabela's or maybe it's your local Cowboy Country store, wherever you may buy your bait, you're going to see right there, generally right about the minnow tank is where we have this information. And it reminds folks, don't dump that bait back into the water. That's another big way you have the possibility of those other species within that bait bucket, but then also that transporting of water. So we've provided that to those retailers. And from what I have seen when I am out doing my field test on that front, I will see that as I'm getting my bait, because it is generally about in that corner. So hopefully that answers your question.
Additional questions from the commission. Jake and or Nick, we talked about the 11 entry points in and out of our state. Do we have any signage up at those areas regarding this?
So, Madam Chair, we have it in the past. We've also partnered with DOT to put signage on the interstate, their flashing signs, if you will, during primary weekends, such as 4th of July and things like that. But what we have moved to is a lot of the access base, so a specific water body will have signage such as, as I mentioned, pull your plug, plug in, plug out, but then if it has AIS, a good example would be our 4x8 signs for a zebra mussel positive water. Those will be placed at a primary access point on a specific water body.
All right, that answers my question. Thank you.
Could I expand on that a little bit, Madam Chair? Another thing I would add on that, too, is this gas station TV, that kind of really reiterates we are in those primary areas that we have seen these infestations. So we have focused in the Northeast, in the Missouri River, in Southeast Central South Dakota. Now they are truly expanding to statewide as well. So that's another good way that even if folks maybe just be passing through, we're going to get them regardless where they may be heading to, especially as we've doubled those number of gas stations. So thank you.
All right, very good. Any other questions from the commission? Commissioner Whitmire.
Madam Chair. Commissioner Whitmire, just going back, I mean, we've talked about this for a few years. It's just an ongoing issue. But some of those non-fishing recreators that are, you know, like the jet ski type folks, it seems some years ago when we looked at the dynamics, a lot of those folks aren't thinking the same way as a fisherman. So fishermen are often more aware of that and the need to drain. But, you know, there's also water in those jet skis and whatnot. Do you know where we are today on that? Has it changed any? Or, I mean, are the fishermen, you know, and also the jet ski people both, you know, kind of catching on that this is all important?
Yeah. Through the chair?
Yes, please.
Yes, Commissioner Whitmire, absolutely. I mean, there's a range of watercraft that are out there, from very simple, say, fishing boat with a simple drain plug to a very complex wakeboarding boat with internal, external ballast takes. The big thing is when we look at that plug compliance rate, that takes into account all of them. Now, what we have been able to do over the years is, for example, we noticed on personal watercraft like jet skis, there was a lack of knowledge with users that they had plugs in them. A lot of them were just simply unaware. We were able to try and tailor message specific to jet ski owners through the contacts that we have to try and get the message out, because that was something we were seeing in the field from our watercraft inspectors. But again, that 98% takes into account of all plugs on all forms of watercraft, if you will.
Very good. Any other questions and or comments? Very good presentation. We appreciate it from both of you. All right, very good. And we are just shy of